We in Hebrews chapter 12, and last week, just to catch you up, this is study 10 in Hebrews, and last week we saw that God is leading us into a holy life, and that oftentimes those highways to holiness are through hardship, that God uses pain in our lives, in my life, to teach us. And he is teaching us because if you look back at chapter 12, verse 10, he's teaching us because he wants us to share in his holiness. You will read there. God, last part of chapter 12, verse 10, God disciplines us. Your Bible might say chasten. The word means to educate or train. He educates and trains me through corrections in life. Oftentimes they don't feel good, the author said, if you read the first part of chapter 12. Actually, if you look ahead at verse 11, it says that. They oftentimes doesn't feel good, but God loves us as his own children, the author said. And if you're a child of God, he's going to be training you. Sometimes it might not feel good. I explained last week that most of the time he makes me feel way better than I deserve. Amen? 80% of the time. But he does teach us and train us, and the key there is so that we can share in his holiness, So that's what we want to talk about today. We want to carry that on, and we're just going to read one verse today, verse 14. We finished up last week in verse 13, so we're just going to read one verse today, verse 14. And I would say that as we read it, Christianity, as I'm here on earth, and I'm going to try to explain this as I like to do, as simply as possible, because I'm not as smart as some of you, I'm not as old as some of you, I'm not as wise as some of you, and I'm a very simple guy. And so I'm going to try to explain this as simply as possible. Me and Jackie are going to like that, aren't we? Okay. So we're going to be good. But I would say that Christianity, once you become a Christian, that my time between becoming a follower of Christ and heaven, that my life here on earth is really Christianity, I could say, is really a school of holiness. Now, he has sent us into the earth for the Great Commission, but that's not all of our Christianity is not all reaching out. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is God is making me like him. I can't reach out properly anyways if I'm not being made more and more like him, right? And so he's making me more and more holy. Now I'm going to try to, we talked about this last week, so some of this is a review, but just keep that in mind. He's preparing me for heaven when I will be what John said in 1 John, we will be like him when we see him. Perfectly holy. That's a mind-blowing thing. But our lives here are an education and a training. It's one part of our Christianity. Education and a training to be more and more like him. Verse 14. So the author said, you're going through all these hardships. You're going through pains. People are arresting you for being a Christian. People are sawing you in two. This has happened to people in the past. And he's urging these Jewish Christians, so take heart. God is proving your faith. Be inspired by those who've gone before you. Also understand that when hard times come, he's teaching you and making you like him. You're being able to associate with Christ who had hard times here on earth. I'll remind us of that in a minute. And so he says in verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Make every effort. I'm not going to emphasize the be at peace with all men. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. Other than to say that in context, it would be hard for these Jewish Christians who are being persecuted for being Christians to be at peace with all men. So he's urging them to be at peace with all men, even those who are persecuting you and wronging you, but make every effort to live at peace with all men. as far as you can do, as far as it's up to you, and to be holy. This is what we want to focus on. Because it just told us in verse 10, he's teaching us to share in his holiness. So he's correcting me in life. That's God's part to make me holy. But now here's my part in verse 14. Make every effort to be holy. And then it says something very important. Without holiness, or I know your Bible says sanctification probably, or something like that. Is that right? Okay. That without holiness or sanctification, no one will see the Lord. Did you follow that? That I can't see God without holiness. And so I should make every effort to be holy. Now, let's just try to pick this apart a little bit. First of all, like I just said, God's teaching me. That's his part to make me holy. But then it just gave me a responsibility. It is to make every effort to be holy. Because, Eric, you can't even see God. Let me paraphrase that for you. You can't see God. You can't know God if you're not holy. You know anybody that says they know God, but they're not holy? But you can't even see God without holiness. Now, why? This is the question for today. Why can't I see God without holiness? Why would the author say that? Why can't I see God without holiness? Why is this so important? And the first thing I would say is this. This is a different kind of sermon in some ways than I normally preach because it's just one verse. Usually I take a few verses and I make a point. I take the next few, but we're just doing one verse today. But I just want to talk about holiness for a few minutes this morning in a very poor, simple way. Okay. Why can't I see God without holiness? The first thing I would say is that holy, remember, it's this word in the Greek the New Testament's written in Greek. We translated it into our own languages. Actually, Heroes did for us and other people have. That holiness means to be set apart. That's what I told you last week. You remember? That here's everything God has created, and here's the world, and here are all human beings and everything else. And God is holy. He is set apart from it all completely. He's God. Always has been, always will be. He's eternal, immortal, invisible God. He's holy because he is set apart from everyone and everything else that you can think of. He's God. Holy is to be set apart like that. Now, God is holy, holy, holy. He's set apart completely from everyone and everything. Remember, that's why we are called saints, and that's the same. That word comes from the same word as holy as well, by the way. So we've been made holy, but let's just keep that on the back burner for a second. God, why can't I see God without holiness? Because God is set apart. Have you ever tried to see anybody when you're set apart from them? If I go into the next room and we're set apart from each other, we won't be able to see each other. God is set apart from everything he's created. He's holy. And so to see him, you got to get over to where he is. If you're separated from God, you can't see him, you see. This is why Isaiah 57, verse 4, 15 says things like this. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus says the high and mighty one, who lives forever, whose name is holy. Whose name is, holy means to be set apart. Whose name is, he's set apart. And he says in Isaiah, I dwell on a high and a holy place. That's where I'm at. I'm set apart. I'm over here from everyone and everything I've created. And then he says something interesting. And I also dwell with the contrite and the lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So now we have something interesting. Why can't I see God without holiness? He's set apart from everything, and you're thinking, okay, he dwells on a high and set apart holy place, so I'm never going to be able to see him. But then he makes it possible in the verse to know him and see him. Isn't that interesting? There is a way over to God's holiness. Did you notice that in the verse? That even though I'm high and holy, I also will be with the contrite and the lowly of spirit. So there is a way into God's holiness, into his set apartness. It's not unattainable or unreachable to see each other. Before TV, we had to be in each other's presence. Now we're thinking, well, I can just use a TV. Don't get smart. We're talking about, like, practically here, to see someone, you have to be in their presence, except for technology today. And then you're not really seeing them, you're just seeing an image of them. But to see somebody, you have to be in their presence, and God is way over here, holy, 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 and he says, but there is a way for me and you to dwell together. So, to see God, I must get over to that holiness, to that set apartness, to where he is. And this is the way it happens. This is the beginning of a holy life. Are you ready? It's through Jesus Christ alone. It's through Jesus' atonement. That's a big fancy word. It means that he sacrificed his own self for our sins. God became a human being, came down to earth, was born, grew up, lived a perfect life, and he suffered and died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. So the Bible says, whoever believes that, if you believe that, he will make you righteous, and he will bring you over to his set apartness so you can share in a holy life with him. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. It's not coming to church or anything else you can think of that makes you holy. It's believing Jesus sacrificed himself for your sins and his atonement. That means that when he sacrificed himself and he shed his blood for my sins, his blood covered my sins, and now God will not give me what I deserve, which is death for my sins. But his atonement is like a mercy seat over my life, and God says, I won't give you what you deserve freely if you believe that I loved you this much and I did this for you. You can't earn it. You can't achieve it. I did it for you. By the way, Christians, that's the message we want to give to people who don't know Christ. Don't say, you need to know God, come to church. That's not the gospel. You want to tell people, Jesus loved you, there's nothing you can do to earn it. I'm just as bad as you, and he suffered and died for our sins and rose from it. If you believe that he did this for you, if God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes, that's it. You will never die. You'll live forever with him. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning of a person's holy life. I'm spitting, George. You guys are brave sitting in the front row. That's the beginning of a holy life, okay? This is why, and this is a review from last week. Remember he says, I want you to share my holiness in chapter 12, verse 10? And so we talked last week, and we looked back at Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, way back in the beginning of the Bible, Leviticus 11:44, when God told Israel stuff like this, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Consecrate yourselves means to kind of set yourself apart for a holy purpose. It means to prepare yourself to be holy. Prepare yourself in a solemn way to live a set apart life because I'm set apart. Okay? Now this is where I want to bring it down to our level. Before I do that, let me read to you a verse we read last week that my holiness begins with Christ's. Remember what we said last week that we were talking about hardship and we were talking about how holiness leads me into hardship. And we talked about how my holiness began with Christ's hardship on the cross for me. That oftentimes, even when God came to the earth, he had some pain, a lot of pain. And we read Colossians chapter 1, and it says this, although you were formerly alienated from God and were sinful in your evil behavior. Alienated means he's over here holy, you're an alien. You're not set apart. You're with everybody else. You see, you were alienated from God. That means that you were not in his presence and you could not have an audience with him. You couldn't see him. If we're alienated from each other, it's not going good between us. And we're not hanging out. And we're not spending time together. We were alienated from God before we were a Christian. But Paul said this to the Colossians, although you used to be alienated from God, he has now reconciled you. Remember we said downstairs a few weeks, reconciled means, George, I don't know why I'm keeping, you're tall, so I see you quickly. Russell, you're not far behind, okay? You're right there too, but if we were alienated from each other, we would be separated from each other. But if we were reconciled, if Becky came and said, you guys just work this out, okay? Hug and make up. Then we would be reconciled and we would be brought back together into a right relationship, okay, with each other. That's reconciliation. So once, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, once you were alienated from God, he was set apart, you were alienated, you were still in your sins. But it says, however, you've been reconciled, brought back to a right relationship with God. You've been reconciled by Christ's fleshly body through death. That's talking about when he suffered and died for my sins and rose from the dead. And then it says, in order to present you holy in God's sight. You were alienated. He set apart holy. Christ suffered and died for your sins and rose from the dead. And when you believe that, through that sacrifice, that's what Colossians chapter 1 just said. Through that, you've been reconciled now and brought into a right relationship with God. You're no longer over there with the world, with enemies of God. You have believed he suffered and died for you and rose from the dead. You believe that we have turned against God as a whole world back in the garden. And through Christ's sacrifice and mercy for my sins, I've been reconciled and I can stand over here now with God in Christ, set apart with him. Just not perfectly. That through Christ, it just said, through his suffering for my sins, he's presenting me holy in his sight. That's amazing. And now you're called a saint. You're called a set apart one. God's holy, 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 perfect. You and I are not holy, holy, holy. But in Christ we are holy with his holiness. Amen? Are we following? Why can't I see God without holiness? Because God is set apart holy. And so to even begin a holy life, I have to trust Jesus Christ that he died for my sins and rose from the dead. That through that sacrifice, he presents me now in God's sight. He reconciles me with God. And I can stand over here holy now with God and have a relationship with him through Christ. That's Christianity. That's the beginning part of holiness. That's the beginning part of holiness. Only through Christ. Look back really quick, one more verse, Hebrews chapter 10, just to build this a little. Verse 14. And then we're going to make this practical after this. Hebrews 10:14, another verse that says I'm brought over to God through Christ alone. There's no other way to get over to God's set apartness and get unalienated from God. Okay? Hebrews 10:14. The writer's been talking about this all through the book. Let's just back up to verse 13. Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made a footstool for his feet, because by one sacrifice, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins and rose from the dead, by that one sacrifice, that's what the author is talking about, he, God, through Jesus, has made perfect forever those who are being made what? Holy. So this is it. Why can't I see God without holiness? Because God set apart. I and all human beings and everything else are not set apart. Through Christ now, I can be set apart, holy, but not perfect. And that's the beginning point of seeing God now, of having a relationship with him through Christ, of having what the Bible says is Holy Spirit comes into you now. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to start teaching you about all things. Jesus made that clear the night he was betrayed in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, that the Holy Spirit now is going to come, and he's going to begin teaching you about everything. Now, after that beginning of holiness, when I've come over to God through Christ, I became a Christian. I'm set apart now with, I'm in Christ, the Bible says, and he's in me. Once that has happened, there's a continuation of holiness. And this is what I told you at the beginning of the message, that life here is like a, almost like a school of holiness. That I'm reaching out to the lost, but at the same time, God is preparing me for heaven by making me more and more like him in the way I speak, in the way I treat people, in the way I handle money, in the way I handle pain, in the way I handle depression, in the way I handle sorrows, in the way I handle everything. He's making me, in every single area of my life, more and more set apart. You see, those who are alienated from God handle marriage one way. When in Christ, when you become a Christian and you're set apart with him, you start to learn now, oh, God has a different way than the aliens, those who don't know God all over the earth, the way I used to be. God has a different way, a set apart way for my marriage. That's called holiness. You see, what good does it do for you to come to church and some preacher say, be holy? And you're like, yeah, be holy. What is holy? I don't know. I think it means like I have to walk a certain way and look pious. You know? What is holiness? You see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to give it to you in a way where you're like, oh, what is holiness? We don't need any more Christians on earth living that kind of holiness. I go to church. You should go to church too. And I wear a suit. And I learn to tie a tie. Not very well. I mean, it's really loose. And if somebody sneezes, it could blow it off. But I've learned to tie a tie. And you think this is holiness? Do you really think this is holiness? So what is holiness? Being set apart. Thank you. That's right. God is set apart. I am set apart now. How do I get set apart then in the way I talk? Talking what? Yes. How do I get set apart in the way I think? How do I get set apart in the way I treat my wife? Or my kids? Or kids? Young people? Sorry? It's going to be opposite of the world. Young people? How do I get holy in the way I treat my parents? You're not off the hook as well. So, how do I get holy? Christ has made me holy. I'm over here with him now. I can see his Holy Spirit in me. He's teaching me now. And so after this, the rest of my life is, how can I, remember, without holiness, you cannot see God. How can I see God in every circumstance and every area of my life? And to see God in any circumstance or any area of my life, I have to find the holiness in it. I have to find the set-apartness in it through Christ. You see? I have to find whatever's going on in my life to find the holiness in it. I have to find the set-apartness in it. God's way over against the world's way. It's actually the opposite. God's way and the world's way is the opposite. I must ask myself, whatever's happening in my life, where is God in all this? What is his way and his will in this circumstance, in my marriage, raising my children, my occupation? I really like this girl and we're dating. What is God's will in everything? And you begin as a Christian to seek this will. It becomes a high priority. And you find what is holy in everything you're doing in life. Every area, every decision, every thought, even my thought life, if somebody cuts me off on the road, my alienated self is Eric the Twerp, right? With the little man complex. Christ's way, now I've been set apart with him, and to practice it, Christ's way is a set apart way of thinking, which is forgive that person. You cut people off too anyways. Right? That's kind of the idea. Have compassion on that person. Don't think the way you used to think. Be holy. Be set apart. Forgive. Compassion. Mercy. Gentleness. Patience. This works in every area of our life. As a believer, when you begin to think this way and practice this in Christ, you're living a holy life. Not perfect. You fail. I fail every day, every hour. I'm not sure about you. It's something I think or something I feel that's not set apart. That's called sin. That's why all day long I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me for thinking that. You know, I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that to that person. I shouldn't have given them that look. I shouldn't have treated my wife that way. I should have, you know. And you're living a Christ, and you're not guilty. You've been forgiven. You're living with Christ, and he's teaching you. So, and your life becomes this, how can I be set apart in everything? Even though I know I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm being trained here on earth. You see, that's a holy life in Christ. Now, this is what I want to do. I want to give you three ways before we quit. Why can't I see God, really quick recap. Why can't I see God without holiness, like Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 just said? Because to see somebody, you have to be where they are, and God is set apart. He's holy. In Christ, you can be set apart and over with him now, not alienated anymore. That's the beginning point of holiness. But you have not arrived. There's no arrivalism until we're with him in heaven. And so now the rest of your life, with him now set apart, you're going to start practicing this in every area of your life. The way you speak, the way you think, the way you act, the way you decide in your marriage, in your hobbies, and everything. You're going to practice it. And so you might say, okay, Eric, I want to do this. How do I find the holiness, the set-apartness in everyday life? And this is what I would say. Three things. First, ask. Ask God to show you his set-apart ways in everything you do through a life of prayer. Well, I would say first it's through studying his word. It begins with this. This is the way you find out what's holy. I want to find out how to be set apart in my marriage, so I'm going to start reading about what God's word says about my marriage. I want to be set apart more and more, Lord, in the way I speak to people. So I'm going to be studying God's word every day because I want to learn what he says about set apartedness, making up words, in speaking. I want to be set apart in my work. What does God say in his word about my occupation or what I do when I work? I want to be Amen. I want to be set apart with my relationship with my kids. Does God's word have anything to say about that? I want to be set apart. So I begin studying his word, and I begin praying and asking. I begin asking, and this is where Psalm 25 might come in, where it says this, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Don't let me be ashamed. Don't let my enemies triumph over me," it says. And then it says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord. Show me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." Now, David, when he prayed that, was not talking about God coming down and showing him a nice hiking trail. David was saying, "Teach me your ways. Lead me, teach me your ways, show me your paths, lead me in your truth, and teach me In every area of my life, I got this crazy King Saul. He's running after me, my father-in-law. Psycho. How do I get holy with this? Okay. You told me I was going to be king 20 years ago, and here I have been running in the deserts now. How do I get holy in this? Show me your way in my life, Lord. What is going on? Why have I had to run for 20 years when you told me I was going to be king? Remember, hardship leads to holiness. David was being prepared. But learn to say, Lord, teach me your way. Show me your path. Lead me in your truth about the way I'm thinking about this thing in my life. Teach me your way. Show me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me as far as my marriage. You see? Ask God to show you how to be set apart in everything. Well, Eric, that's going to take a lot of prayer. Yes, it will. And that's going to take a lot of studying the Bible, isn't it? Yes, it will. And it's going to take a lot of being with godly friends when you're discussing God's words and God's ways. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. But you know, the world spends at least 40 hours, and we're proud when we say, I spend 50, 60 hours at my job this week. And how much time did you spend on your Christianity? Ask God to show you everything. Like Martin Luther said, I've got so much to do today, I'm going to have to spend an extra couple hours in prayer. Because I need God to teach me his way and show me his paths today. I think the opposite. I've got so much to do, I got to get going. I'm going to do one of the fast food kind of prayers, right? In the car, which is good too. It's better than nothing. But that's just how Martin Luther thought. Ask God to show you his ways and everything. And then, how do I lead a holy life so I can see God? Abstain. Abstain. Abstain from unset apart ways. God's holy, he's set apart. And the Bible says if you want to be holy, ask God to show you his ways and abstain from unset apart ways. Flip with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 really quick. It's if you don't know, it's back some from Hebrews. A few books. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Abstain from unset apart ways. That means practice not doing things that aren't holy. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be holy. Okay, this is his will in your life. Or sanctified. Is the same, means the same thing. It's the exact same word. Holy, sanctified. And we know it now as, if you want to break it down even farther than that, it means to be set apart with God over here, over against everything else, and living set apartedness in everything I do. That's holy. God's will is this for me and you. That each one of us should learn how to control his own body in a way that is holy and set apart and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen, those who don't know God, who are still separated from him, who don't know God. Verse 6, and in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all these kinds of sins. And we've already told you and we've warned you about these things. God didn't call us to be impure, but to live what? A holy life. So if anybody rejects this kind of thinking, he doesn't really reject me, Paul says. He really rejects God, who gives you his Holy Spirit and teaches you all these things. How do I live a holy life? Ask God to show you. Study his word and pray a lot. Eric, is there some easier way? No. Abstain. That is, start practicing set apart ways in the way you think, in the way you feel, in the way you act, and what you do in your rest time, what you do with your occupation, everything. And try to fight against, the Bible says, unset apart ways. You want to curse that person that just offended you. You want to treat them the way they treated you. That is not set apart. That is unset apart. That is not holy. That's unholy. Practice being like God through Jesus Christ. He's teaching you his way. You know what you're supposed to do. It's going to be hard. You're going to fail. Practice it. Practice it. Be holy. Forgive that person. Bless those who bless you. Bless those who curse you. Excuse me. Bless those who bless you. Bless those who curse you. Love your enemies. Somebody slaps you, insults you, let them do it again. Try to stop, abstain, try to stop doing unset apart things and practice it the rest of your life and you'll never arrive. Although sometimes I think some of you have, but I have my doubts. And then, lastly, let God correct me. That's what we read last week in the earlier part of chapter 12, that he's disciplining me for my good, that I might share in his holiness. So how do I live a holy life? Ask God. Pray, study his word to find out, how do I live a set-apart life in my marriage or whatever? Abstain from all the unset-apart ways that the world uses to run their marriage. Try to fight against those and live God's way. And then let God correct you. That's the one we talked about last. This means, though, don't let this slip, that this means, are you ready? You are going to have to be wrong sometimes. I can't believe he told me that today. He's told me I'm going to be wrong sometimes. No, God just told us in the earlier part of chapter 12, I'm going to be wrong a lot, and he loves me, and he's teaching me so I can be set apart, holy. And so he's going to correct me lovingly. But the prerequisite to being corrected is you have to know you need to be corrected. You have to have a teachable spirit. You have to say in my Christianity, I am far from arrived. Like I've told you now, that when I was really changed by God, I thought I had arrived. I just felt this, wow. The word of God, I understood it now, and I just looked at other people's sins and thought, how could you? And I was just, and then, but the more I've walked with Christ, the more I've learned that I have a long way to go. And so what happens is, as you grow closer to Christ, and as you become more and more set apart, you just realize how set apart he is and how much more I have to learn. And you have this teachable spirit, and you begin to say, Lord, I know I have a lot to learn, so don't let me go my own way in the unset apartness. Teach me. Discipline me. Train me. I want to be more like you. Father, we thank you again for this time this morning, and I pray that as your people, we would have a high priority on living a holy life. It's your will for us to live holy, set-apart life. We thank you for the beginning of that holy life that we have found in Jesus Christ, in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. That free gift, and that through belief, when we believe this, you give us the free gift of salvation by grace, that we can live in your presence now and see you with the eyes of our hearts. And we have been set apart with you. But now, as Christians, I pray that we would have this high priority on growing in that set apartness, that holiness, in every area of our lives, every moment of the day, every thought, every word, that like breathing, our Christianity would become this pursuit of holiness, of responding and deciding and thinking as best we can, the way you would, not the way the world would. And that by this we'd be living a holy life. In Jesus' name, amen.